Welcome to Neonatology Now, the official podcast of the European School of Neonatology. Here at Neonatology Now, we are shining a light on the real-world experiences of world-renowned experts in perinatal medicine. Together, we will learn from top medical doctors, researchers, and opinion leaders to better understand how we can improve professional neonatal care in Europe and beyond. It's not just about the science. It's about the stories and experiences shaping this critical field of medicine. And now, without further ado, let me introduce you to your host, a seasoned neonatologist and our guide through these fascinating conversations, Professor Mario Rüdiger. Mario, take it away.
Welcome to a new episode of Neonatology Now, the podcast of the European School of Neonatology, where we explore the most pressing topics in neonatology. Today's topic, the upcoming Congress of the European Pediatric Academic Societies. I'm Professor Rüdiger, and my guests for today are Deirdre Murray and Luigi Tidomagno. Neonatology Now explores the science, collaboration, and people shaping neonatal and pediatric care across Europe and beyond. Today's episode connects frontline neonatology with a broader pediatric research community through the work of the European Society of Pediatric Research, the ESPR, and the European Academy of Pediatrics, EAP, which together organizes the Congress of the European Pediatric Academic Societies, CPES, which will take place in late October 2026. Therefore, I'm very excited to have two guests, Deirdre Murray, who is co-leading the scientific organization of the upcoming Congress on behalf of the ESPR, Luigi Tidomagno, the scientific co-chair on behalf of the EAP. So welcome to Neonatology Now.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
Hi. So before I go into details on the exciting new Congress format and content of CPES 2026, it is my pleasure to shortly introduce my guests. So Professor Deirdre Murray is co-leading the scientific committee of the next Congress of the European Pediatric Academic Societies to be held in Lyon in October 2026. And Professor Murray is widely known for her work in neonatal neurology and brain development. And she brings both scientific excellence and organizational leadership to, I would say, the most important pediatric meeting in Europe. So Deirdre, nice to have you here. Did I forget something in my introduction that is important to you?
No, that's fine. Thanks, Mario. And thank you for inviting us to do this podcast.
Furthermore, it's my pleasure to welcome Professor Luigi Tidomagno, scientific co-chair of the next Congress on behalf of the European Academy of Pediatrics. Professor Tidomagno is internationally recognized for his work in pediatric emergency medicine and clinical research. And in his role of EAP, he helps shape scientific vision and priorities of pediatric across Europe. Luigi, did I forget something in my introduction that it's important for you?
That's fine, Mario. Thank you.
Okay. So, Luigi, let's start with the European Academy of Pediatrics. EAP is a key umbrella organization and representing pediatric societies across Europe, and it plays a central role in advancing pediatric education, research, advocacy, and policy. So EAP goals is to make sure that children health remains a priority at European, but also at international levels. And neonatology can be considered as a vital part of this mission, bridging early life research, clinical care, and long-term outcomes. Luigi, for listeners who may be less familiar with AAP, how would you describe its relevance for everyday pediatric and neonatal practice?
Yes, thanks for the question. So EAP serves as the voice of pediatrics across Europe. You know, we are 38 national societies plus many European subspecialty societies, and we advocate for child health policies. We standardize training, like our European training requirements that are our curriculum, and foster also research translation.
Okay. And so from your perspective as a scientific chair, what are the most pressing scientific challenges facing pediatrics in Europe today?
So actually, I think that key challenges include antimicrobial resistance in vulnerable infants, also mental health post-pandemic, and integrating AI and digital health into pediatric workflows. That's very important too. So we at the AP, we prioritize these through collaborative trials, and also we work on equity-focused advocacy. It's very important for us.
Okay. So Luigi, neonatology now is mainly dedicated for neonatologists. And how does neonatology fit within the broader EAP strategy, particularly in terms of research translation and long-term child outcome?
But as you said, neonatology is core to EAP lifelong outcome focus, because we bridge NICU innovation, for example, to adolescent health via the ETRs. So it's very important for us that pediatrics, neonatologists, neonatologists stay together, because it's the same person we're talking about and we're taking care of.
Yeah. So actually, European pediatric research is increasingly collaborative. And what role does EAP play in fostering cross-border and even interdisciplinary research?
I'd say that EAP drives this via grants, multi-society task forces, and meetings too. The AP links pediatricians for EU-funded projects like, you know, the Horizon Europe One, and it's very important for us that we stay collaborative among societies to have a good child health across Europe and also in the limiting countries, in the round countries.
Mm-hmm. So we have many young listeners, and Luigi, what is the how can early career clinicians and researchers either benefit or even engage more actively with AAP?
I say that they can join via their national societies, because we are a society of societies, not the society of members. They can, of course, register for EAP workshop at CIPAS. There are three, very interesting for them too. And of course, they can contribute to our European training requirements working groups so that they can shape tomorrow's standards.
Okay. Now I am even more curious to learn more about the upcoming Congress of the European Pediatric Academic Societies. So in collaboration with the ESPR, the Global Foundation for the Care of the Newborn Infants is also involved and supports the integration of patient and family-centered perspectives and advocacy. So my first question for you, what makes a meeting in Lyon in October 2026 particularly exciting?
Well, it's the first year that we will have the CPAS meeting, which is going to be a combination of ESPR and EAP and also GFCNI. So it's really a new beginning for us. It's a new structure to the meeting, and we're really looking forward to it. I think Lyon is going to be a fantastic destination to start with. And then we've been working hard on the program to really make it like a nice integrated program between EAP, ESPR, and GFCNI. Yep.
That sounds interesting. So actually, I'm very much interested, how did you approach designing the scientific program to reflect on one hand cutting-edge research and on the other hand clinical relevance?
Well, we always start by going back to the societies. So in ESBR, we ask each of the sections to tell us about what they think are the most exciting topics that people need to know about, the most exciting research that's coming out. But then we also try to have a combination of scientific sessions. And then this year we have what we call clinical practice sessions, where it's going to be more practical application of those research findings. And then we have integrated sessions as well, which are kind of interdisciplinary between combining pediatrics and neonatology. So we'll have some sessions are completely neonatal focused, some are pediatric focused, and then we have combined sessions, clinical practice sessions. And then lastly, we have tomorrow's world sessions as well, where we really talk about, you know, what's the blue skies for the futures and what are the future projects that are going to be there. So I think it's a nice combination of right from clinical practice up to tomorrow's world.
Excellent. So as you already said, neonatology has a strong presence at EPARS. What key neonatal topics or sessions should our listeners look out for in Lyon? What is your suggestion? Yeah.
Well, I suppose to start with, we have a number of the pre-Congress courses, which are always very popular. We'll have our cranial ultrasound course, neonatology performed, echo, vascular access. But then we're also going to have a workshop which is focused on neonatal neurocritical care during the Congress. And we're going to have another parallel session that's focused on the care of tiny babies. So really looking at the 22, 23, 24 years and what's the latest evidence there. I think the other thing that we're going to, that will be included in the Congress is looking at outcome, you know, the long-term outcome after neonatology. And I think that's a very important integrated session between EAP and ESPR, because it's important for a neonatologist to know about the long-term outcome of the treatments that they give and deliver. We're going to have many then in the scientific sessions, there's a number of hot topics. So they focused on brain injury, hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, stem cell use, and then also the results of the POLAR trial will be presented at the Congress, which is going to be, you know, looking at our management of babies in the resuscitation room with ventilation. How we manage that. So lots for the neonatologist to get them up.
That sounds exciting. Yeah. It will be very difficult to decide which session one should participate and which should be missed. So you already talked about hands-on workshops. What other opportunities will the Congress offer for trainees or early career researchers and allied health professionals?
Yeah, so we're also going to have an area in the Congress, which we'll put aside for what we call the meet and connect area. So we'll have a number of different sessions there where people, especially young investigators, can meet other young investigators to talk about a topic or help to develop their own research. And one of those will be talking with the editors of different journals to give them advice about how they get their research published. So I think that will be popular with the young investigators, and that's being led by the young investigator section of the ESPR.
Okay. So actually, we already talked about that the Global Foundation for the Care of the Newborn Infants is a co-organizer. What's their impact on the program?
Yeah, so they're an integral part of our scientific committee. They have had input into all of our sessions, and in particular, then they have focus sessions which are around parent involvement and also the parent experience in the NICU. So no, we've really tried to integrate GFCNI and their ethos into the scientific program.
Okay. And so you already talked about other pediatric topics which are presented in the Congress. How important is it actually for neonatologists to engage with a wider pediatric academy or audience?
I think so. I mean, I think in many hospitals, especially the smaller hospitals, it's the same person who's the neonatologist and the pediatrician looking after the smaller babies and then following their care as pediatrics. I know certainly in Ireland there's many smaller hospitals where it's the same person, they don't split in two. And then I also think for neonatologists in the bigger hospitals where their day-to-day practice is only looking after the neonate, they need to know more about the long-term outcome of those children. So I think it's a really good idea for us to have this. We don't have it every year, but every second year we have this combination between neonatology and pediatrics.
Okay. That means both sides can gain from that exposure.
Exactly.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay. Okay, Derry, that sounds exciting. So let's summarize. The Congress in Lyon is an event nobody should miss. And being almost at the end of our talk, I do have a few questions for both of you. Firstly, how do AAP and ESPR complement each other in advancing pediatric and neonatal scientific science in Europe? So, Luigi, what would you say?
I'd say that it's a very good question. And EAP provides the policy and training umbrella, while the ESPR delivers frontline research. And together, via CIPAS, we turn evidence into equitable care. That's our goal.
So thank you. But what role do large scientific congresses still play in the area of digital education, virtual collaboration? Like our podcast is very well accepted. What is your opinion?
My opinion is that it's important to go to congresses because you can do networking, you can challenge norms, you talk with experts, and you co-create the future of child health. For example, our congress in Lyon is where the neonatologists meet pediatricians, and it's important that this collaboration goes on because it's for the future of child health. And it's like if you just join virtually, you miss a lot.
Okay. So, Luigi, you almost answered my next question. So, if you have a one-sentence message, why should a neonatologist consider attending the Lyon Congress?
Yeah, I would say because they can learn breakthrough advancement in healthcare. Our Congress, it's child-centered innovation across the neonatal to adult transition. So, it's very, very specific, and you cover all the pediatric ages. It's important you rise collaboration, you discover young talents. It's very nice to go there.
Okay. So, Didi, what is your one-sentence message?
To come in person if possible. I think it's going to be a lovely setting in Lyon. It's a fabulous city. And come and stay as long as you can and attend the sessions and come and meet people. I think that's the really beautiful thing about congresses. We can all read the evidence in journal, but it's not the same as listening to the researchers actually talk about that research study and the findings and being able to ask them questions. You can't do that when you read a paper. So I think come ideally in person if you can. And there's still a few days left for them to submit their abstracts.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good. A good chance to be active in the program as well.
Yes.
So, okay. So, Deirdre, is there any special event you would like to mention for the Congress as well?
Yeah. Thanks, Mario. I think one of the things that we are doing for the first time this year that we've never done before at any of our conferences is having live podcasts from the conference. So we're going to have a podcast recorded at the conference where you and your team from Neonatology Now will speak to some of our invited speakers. And also we are going to have the incubator podcast, and also on the pediatric side, we're going to have a podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles, focused on emergency pediatrics. So I think there'll be lots, that will be exciting during the conference and also something that people can listen to afterwards. So I think it's an exciting new way of doing a conference, I think.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about this format, and so I'm really looking forward how it works and to meet my colleagues from the Incubator podcast and the other podcast. So it will be great. So finally, at the end, I'm always addressing my guests with questions for our young listeners. So what gives you optimism about the future of pediatrics and neonatology in Europe?
So first of all, let's say that Europe already leads via several initiatives. You have EU-wide procurement and funding. That's important. Furthermore, you have societies like EAP and ESPR that actively foster cross-border research at events like CIPAS. So that's innovation because we integrate neonatology with broader child health. And also at the AAP level, we have a young EAP network with general representatives from 25 countries. And that's so much for webinars, advocacy, and EAP projects in education and innovation.
Deirdre, what gives you optimism about the future of pediatrics and neonatology in Europe?
I think obviously with the political situation at the moment, it's a difficult time. But I think if we think about our own practice in pediatrics, there's more and more understanding now about the importance of early life and the effects of, you know, what happens to you in early life for your lifelong health. And so I think from the point of view of governments and public health, people understand how important those first few years are. So I think it is an exciting time to be a paediatrician and also a neonatologist. There's a lot more understanding now about that, you know, research studies, RCTs have to be done in children. You can't just do them in adults and then presume that the drug is going to work in children. So I think, you know, the medicines agencies and everything have recognized that we need more trials in children. So it's a good time to be a pediatric researcher. I think there's a lot of exciting therapies like gene therapies coming down the road, stem cell therapies. So for many years in pediatrics, we haven't had a lot of new drugs. But now I think lately we are getting those new drugs that are really transforming the lives of the children who get them, you know. So I think genetics is expanding. You know, we know a lot more about early genetic causes. We can pick up lots of, you know, a lot of conditions where we didn't know what they were causing them. Now we can do a whole like exome sequencing and finally we have answers for these patients. So I think it's an exciting time to be a pediatrician and a neonatologist.
So talking about your vision of the future, what do you recommend students who are at the beginning of their career?
I'll say them to dive into clinical networks, task forces, research groups, because it's important to embrace interdisciplinary research, go to the congresses like the CPAS, and also champion equity in pediatric care in Europe. It's very important now.
Okay, so based on your vision of the future, what do you recommend students who are at the beginning of their career?
Okay, I think the most important thing is to stay curious. You know, when you're with your patients in the clinic, on the ward rounds, that you come across something that you don't know or you don't understand, go and read up about it and learn from it. Don't just say, "Oh, I don't know anything about that condition," and move on. And make sure you go back and read about it. If there's a question that comes up, try to answer it. Whether it's like you do your own literature review or you start a research project, and that's how you're gathering your experience and your knowledge over time. And you know, talk to people and come to conferences like the CPAS conference, where you can hear people who are doing research, and that will keep you excited. I always get so motivated when I come back from these conferences, and you come back with like 10 new ideas. But stay curious.
So thank you very much for sharing your insights and for your leadership in shaping the future of this pediatric and neonatal science. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing you and the listeners in Lyon. And I'm really curious now to come.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Thanks, Mario.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
That was it again. Neonatology Now, the podcast of the European School of Neonatology. Mario Rüdiger on the mic, and my guests for today were Deirdre Mori and Luigi Titmon-Lio. If you do have any questions or comments, do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you for listening.